Welcome to Burnside at Home. Thanks so much for joining with us once again this week as we come together to worship God. And it's always so encouraging to hear little messages from you of how you've been listening to our worship and how God has been speaking to you through our times of worship. If you're new here, you're very, very welcome. If you're living in Port Stewart, you're very welcome to come along and join us on a Sunday at 11 o'clock in our church building. And we've put together all the various measures that we can to have social distancing, to make everything as safe as possible so that you're able to join with us in worship. But I know for many of you that you're not able to do that at this time, and some of you are at a distance. And we really enjoy having you with us as we worship. And it's wonderful that we've got this means of doing this now. Today we're carrying on a theme that we've been looking at over the last few weeks. This idea of holding lightly to the things of this world, but then holding tightly to the things of God. And we've been trying to wrestle together over the last few weeks as to what that should look like in our lives. Last week we were saying that we need to hold lightly to the things of this world so that we can hold tightly to the treasure of Jesus and make sure that nothing gets in the way of holding on to Jesus. If we're holding too much in this world, then we aren't able to hold on to God as tightly as we should. You know what it's like whenever you've got a pile of things, maybe a pile of groceries, and you don't want to take that second trip, so you pile everything up and you're trying to hold on to it as you stagger across the floor and set it down on the bench. And whenever you've got armfuls of things, you don't have room for anything else to hold on to. So we need to hold lightly, let go of the things of this world, so that we can hold tightly to God. And today we're going to see that that happens whenever we ask God to transform us rather than us being conformed to the world around us. So we're going to look at Romans chapter 12 verses 1 to 8, where we're told, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's our message today, that Jesus, the one that we treasure, the one that we hold on to, is the one who transforms us. So today is not a long list of things that we need to do, that we have to work hard at. We're going to be relying on the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to be relying on our Savior, whom we love and who we know loves us, because he demonstrated that love for us by dying on a cross for us. And he comes, and instead of us being conformed by the world around us, he comes and transforms us through his grace, through his mercy, through his love for us. So today we gather together in the name of our God, the maker of heaven and earth, who calls us away from the customs and attitudes of the world around us and invites us instead into a transforming relationship with him and with one another. So let's worship God together. In a moment or two, we're going to sing, O Breath of Life, come sweeping through us. It's a hymn where we ask that God, through his Holy Spirit, will come through our lives, come sweeping into our lives to transform us, to change us into the people that he wants us to be. But before we sing that, we're going to pray together. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you today and we recognize that you are the one who transforms us. We realize, Lord, that it is so easy to hold on to the things of this world and be conformed by this world, be squeezed into the mold of this world. But we ask today, Lord, that through your Holy Spirit and through our Savior Jesus Christ, you would come sweeping into our lives and you would transform us. Lord, transform us from the mundane into the special. Transform us from the weak into the strong. Transform us today, Lord, into the people that you want us to be. And may we be ready to follow you and to walk with you and to glorify you this day. So Lord, do not leave us the way that we are now, but transform us through this time of worship, that you would be glorified, that your name would be lifted on high, that others would see the transformation in us and would look beyond our lives and see you. For Lord, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're coming to God in prayer once again and bringing the needs of others, but also we're going to be giving thanks to God for the goodness and the generosity of his people. And last week I was sharing with you the need that we have financially as a congregation. Just pointing out the fact that on last year we're down on our income about £6,000. And I have to tell you a little story of encouragement. I recorded the message here, and whenever I left the church building, I called round with Jeremy to pick up some bits and pieces that we needed for the church. And Jeremy told me about a donation that we'd received in the church, a donation for £1,000. And that was just immediately after recording that message and going, so how good is God? How generous are God's people? And that has been such a help. And I want to thank each one of you for your generosity and thank you for your continued support as a congregation to us. And we really do appreciate that. Of course, on a Sunday, we do have a retiring offering. It's strange not being able to pass the plate around each Sunday, but there is a plate here and people can put their offering into the plate as they come in and then as they leave the church building. But let's give thanks to God now and let's pray and praise him. Heavenly Father, as we come to you in prayer, we want to give you thanks for all that people have donated to your work here in our congregation. And Lord, we thank you and we praise you for that. And we thank you, Lord, for all those who continue to give, especially in these days of uncertainty, and especially in these days of challenge for so many. We recognize, Lord, that there are those who are struggling financially at this time, and we bring them to you in prayer and ask, Lord, that they would be provided for and that they would be kept safe. We thank you, Lord, for all the donations to our congregation. And we pray, Lord, that they would be used for your glory and your kingdom. And we pray that you would guide those who are looking after the financial matters of our church, and that everything would be done for your glory. Pray also, Lord, for the united appeal of our church. And we thank you for this opportunity to be involved in the outreach and mission throughout this island and indeed globally through our global mission workers. And Lord, as we remember all these things, we praise you and we give you thanks. We thank you that you are a God who is faithful. You are a God who provides, a God who can be trusted in. Lord God, we pray now that you would be with us in these days ahead. There is so much talk at the moment on the news of what is coming up at the end of the year. And we think of Christmas and whether we will be able to meet together as families or not. We think also of the new year and the Brexit negotiations. And again, Lord, the uncertainty that there is for businesses as they try to work out what needs to be done and the preparations that need to be taken. And Lord, we ask that there would be certainty and that there would be a clear path ahead. We continue to give you thanks, Lord, for the vaccinations that have been produced. And we pray that very soon those would be available and that they would be given, first of all, to those who are most vulnerable. We pray especially, Lord, for those who are in care homes and in hospitals, and we ask that you would protect them. We pray, Lord, for those who are ill at this time, those who are suffering day by day, those, Lord, who are recovering from illness. And we give you thanks for your hand of blessing upon them and pray that you would continue to help them to build up in strength day by day and be with the members of their family who look after and who care. And Lord, we pray especially for family members that aren't able to visit loved ones as much as they want to. We pray that you would bless and watch over and keep safe. Lord God, we thank you that you are a great God. We thank you, Lord, that as we were thinking last week about treasuring Jesus, that Jesus is with us and will help us. And today, Lord, we pray for your transforming power in our lives, that you would help us and be with us and guide us in all that we do. Lord, speak to us now from your word, we pray, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Romans chapter 12, verses 1 to 8. A living sacrifice to God. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behaviour and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given us. Just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Amen.
So today is all about being transformed, not conformed. Transformed by Jesus Christ, not conformed by the world. And we're looking at that passage that we've just read together from Romans chapter 12, verses 1 to 8, and concentrating mainly on the theme of verse 2, but looking at all the verses to find out what we can do and what Jesus Christ does for us. We're still in this theme of holding lightly to the things of this world, and if we hold lightly to the things of this world, then we're less likely to be conformed by them. We're less likely to be squeezed into the plan of this world and more likely to be set free by the cross of Jesus Christ and by the salvation that our Redeemer brings us. So first of all, we find in verse 2 that we need to be transformed. And in verse 2 we read, "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." And there's a wonderful version, a translation, paraphrase of that verse that J.B. Phillips has done. If you are familiar with Eugene Peterson, J.B. Phillips, I suppose, translated the New Testament many, many years before Peterson did, and in a similar way to Peterson. And this is what he says whenever you get to Romans 12, verse 2. "Don't let the world around you squeeze you into its own mold. But let God remold your minds from within, so that you may prove in practice that the plan of God for you is good, meets all his demands, and moves towards the goal of true maturity. That's a wonderful, wonderful translation of that verse. Don't let the world around you squeeze you into its mold. And that is so often what happens. We accept what the world says. We accept what's expected of us in the world, and we are squeezed as Christians until we can hardly breathe as Christians. We can hardly express ourselves as Christians. We're conformed to the world when we should be allowing Jesus to transform us and to change us. Today, in these 8 verses, we've got a list of instructions, things that we need to be so that we aren't squeezed into the mold of the world. But last week, we were thinking about treasuring Jesus. And it's exactly the same message today, that although there are things that Paul's telling us to do, we realize very quickly that these things are difficult. They're not things that come naturally to us. They're things that if we set out today to start doing, by tomorrow we'll probably have failed at a few of them. So whatever we try to do from this list, we will fail. So therefore, we've got to rely on Jesus. We've got to treasure Jesus once again, bring Jesus into our lives so that he does the transforming work. And so that we're not doing it on our own strength, we're not doing it by our own hard work, but we're doing it by the grace of God, accepting Jesus, trusting in him, and allowing him to change us. After all, Jesus specializes in transformation, and that's what he brings to us. Think of Jesus whenever he was on this earth, the way he transformed so many lives. The blind had their sight restored. The lame were able to walk again because of Jesus. The leper was healed because Jesus touched and Jesus spoke. The broken are restored. The sinner is forgiven. The dead are raised to life. Jesus transforms while the world conforms. The world squeezes us into its mold, but Jesus remolds our lives. So in verse 2, we need to be transformed. But let's go back to verse 1 and see that we need to be a sacrifice if we're to have this completely transformed life. Paul says, therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Now, no sacrifice that we can ever make can ever be enough in God's sight. Like the sacrifices in the Old Testament, whenever we make a sacrifice, it needs to be offered again and again and again. But the perfect sacrifice is Jesus. And therefore, as we offer our bodies as living sacrifices to God, we're not offering a sacrifice that will remove our sin. Jesus is the one who has done that. But we're offering ourselves as a sacrifice that God might use us in whatever way he pleases. And if we're offering ourselves as sacrifices, then we're holding lightly to our lives. We're saying to God, here's my life, take it and use it whatever way you want. Much of the time in this world, we want to hold on to our lives. We want control of our lives. We want to decide what we do. But by holding lightly, we're offering our bodies as living sacrifices. We're to be a sacrifice to God, offering our bodies as these living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God, and this is our spiritual act of worship. Now, what are the characteristics of a sacrifice? Well, a sacrifice is all or nothing. You can't go and just offer a little bit of a sacrifice to God. You can't take an animal and offer a little bit of it to him and then take the rest of it back home. Once you begin the sacrifice, the whole animal is given. So if we're to be living sacrifices, we're to offer everything to him, not just a little bit. You can't do a little bit of a sacrifice. By giving of ourselves, we're breaking out of the mold of this world. As the world tries to squeeze us down, as the world tries to tell us what we can and we can't do, and the attitudes we should have and we shouldn't have, it tries to keep us suppressed. But by holding lightly an offering to God, then he takes our sacrifice. So we're transformed, we're changed by being a sacrifice. Next, we see that we need to be humble. And we find that in verse 3 of the passage. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. The mold of the world tells us that we can achieve anything. Dream and do not let anyone take those dreams from you. The message so often that's given out is, you are being held back. You can do anything you want. Set yourself free. But that, in a way, is the world suppressing us. Because if we're thinking of ourselves, if we're only concentrating on our own dreams, then we're missing out on so much more. We're missing out on what God is giving to us. Last weekend, Lewis Hamilton won his 7th Formula One World Championship. And he had a message for children everywhere as he accomplished this great feat. And he said to all the kids out there, dream the impossible. His message was that whoever you are, persevere and you can do whatever you set your mind on. But that's a message that is squeezing us into this mold of the world. It's a message that doesn't set us free. It's a message that binds us. Whenever Jesus is the one who can set us free and transform us, Jesus is the one who can achieve the impossible within us. We're told here to be humble because we are all broken. We all fall short of God's glory. And yet he chooses to lift up the broken and repair us and remake us and restore us and redeem us. And that is what Jesus does. It's not that we dream and we achieve it ourselves. Jesus achieves it for us. And so we are to be humble. Don't think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment and then think of your faith in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. We can't do the impossible, but Jesus has already done the impossible. The miracle worker is Jesus. He is the one who can achieve all things in our lives. So treasure Jesus. He's already died and risen again for us. He intercedes on our behalf day by day in heaven. We put our faith in him and then we think of ourselves correctly. We look at Jesus. We glorify him. We dream the big dreams in Jesus and he transforms us. So treasure Jesus. Hold on to him. What an incredible Savior we have. And then Paul goes on to tell us that we need to be part of the body. So we need to be transformed, we need to be a sacrifice, we need to be humble, but we need to be part of the body. The world wants self-made men and women, people who rely on nobody but themselves. And the person who has made it themselves from nothing is the person who is lauded and held up as an example in the world today. And that's the mold that the world wants to produce. But let's break free from that mold. We don't have to do it on our own. We don't have to be self-made. Jesus wants men and women who are trusting in him.
So be transformed by him. Be part of his body. The Christian life is not for individuals. We're all part of the body of Christ. We all fit together. We support one another. We help one another. If you're struggling today to cope on your own, don't believe the message from the world. Be transformed by Jesus and be part of his body with other believers who will encourage you and help you. In verses 4 and 5, Paul writes, "Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others." Break free from that idea that you can do it on your own and be transformed by Jesus, who welcomes us into his body, who finds a place for each one of us, and we rely on one another. But most of all, we rely upon him. So join together as a group. Of course, we can't meet together as much as we once did, but we are making these efforts, and there are other things that we're able to do as well. Be part of the body. A simple way at the moment is to join us in our worship online or on a Sunday here. But then join us on a Wednesday. On a Wednesday, we have a Zoom prayer meeting. Now, you may not be the sort of person who has ever thought that they would be part of a prayer meeting. But why not just tune in on a Wednesday, say hello to everyone, and then listen if you don't want to pray. Just listen as other people are praying. Pray silently with others. It's the most incredible experience to know that there are people who are praying and to hear those prayers being offered to God. This is one of the things that we treasure Jesus for, because Jesus prays for us. That's what Jesus is doing today. He's interceding on our behalf before his Father. He's speaking for you and for me. Can you imagine that? That Jesus, who came to this earth, who suffered and died on the cross, who shed his blood, was dead and buried and then rose again. He appeared to his disciples and to many others and then ascended into heaven. And now we might think to ourselves, well, Jesus Christ is seated at the Father's side. He's reigning in splendor. He is enjoying the splendor of heaven, and he is just sitting back and relaxing, watching all that's happening. But that isn't what Jesus is doing. Jesus is at his Father's side, and he is interceding on behalf of you and me. He's praying for us. Right now, this minute, he is praying for us. If you could hear what was happening in heaven, if you could stop now and just listen, what would you hear? What would we hear from heaven right now? We would hear Jesus Christ uttering our name. Because Jesus is there interceding, standing between you and me and God Almighty, and he is speaking our name, praying for us, praying that we would remain faithful, praying that we would trust, praying that we would obey, praying that we would accept the grace that's being offered to us. And if we could hear it, we would hear him speaking our name. That is why we treasure Jesus. There he is. Listen today. Take a moment of quietness and just listen for Jesus speaking your name. You might not hear it in an audible fashion, but in the quietness of your spirit, you'll realize what's going on in heaven and you'll realize what Jesus is saying. So be part of the body of Christ, and Christ will speak your name before the throne of God and will intercede on your behalf. So be part of this body. Join us for prayer. If you'd like to join us on a Wednesday, 12 noon, just send an email to me, send a message, and I'll get in contact with you, and I'll give you the code so that you can get into the meeting. And it's just simply a time of gathering before the throne and interceding on behalf of others and allowing Jesus to intercede on behalf of us. We're not in this alone. So be part of the body. And then finally, Paul ends this section by telling us that we need to be gifted, that we need to use the gifts that God has given to us. The world would tell us that these gifts are not important. If you look down through these gifts that are listed here in verses 6, 7, and 8, they don't seem that remarkable. And yet they're the ones that Paul lists and tells us to use in our service of God. The world would tell us you need other skills. You need to be an entrepreneur. You need to have great dreams. You need to have special skills. You need to have perseverance and determination. But Paul tells us that these ordinary things can be used by Jesus. And as I read them to you now, I guarantee that there is at least one of these skills, maybe more than one, maybe all of them, but at least one of them that you could use in God's service. We have different gifts, Paul says, according to the grace given us. In other words, it's God who has given us these things. If we're naturally good at something, it's God who has given it to us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. How many of those could you do today? How many of those gifts could you use in God's service today and do it cheerfully? There are lots of them. Okay, there might be a couple of them you might score out and say, nope, that's not me. But there are many of them you could use. Prophesying, speaking God's word. Okay, you might not feel that you've got skills in speaking God's word, but God may be calling you today to speak out for him. You never know. If it's serving, serve him. We can all serve. There are so many ways that we can serve. We just need to be humble, not think too highly of ourselves, and then give ourselves in service. We can teach. We can teach others. We can teach one-to-one with others. We can encourage one another. Encouragement is so important, just to simply speak to someone, to come alongside them, to show them that we care. We can give, and it's not always the people that have the most that are the most generous. Sometimes it's those who have very little in this world who are the most generous and can serve in this way and make the biggest impact in serving. So let's give thanks to God that we can be generous with what he's given to us, that we can lead, that we can show mercy. Show somebody mercy this week. Show somebody a little encouragement this week. Give generously to someone this week and see how God can use you. We saw at the beginning that we have to be a sacrifice, and there's a modern song. We're not going to sing it, but I'll maybe put a link to it so that we can listen to it. Come to the altar, which shows us how we are to be the sacrifice and how we're to accept the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. The questions asked at the beginning of it, are you hurting and broken within, overwhelmed by the weight of your sin? Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling. Today, if you have not taken that step of coming to Jesus, the ultimate sacrifice, realize that he is calling you today. Come to him, trust in him, accept him as your Lord and Savior, treasure him today. Oh, come to the altar, the song goes on. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Leave behind your regrets and mistakes. Come today. There's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling. Bring your sorrows. Trade them for joy. From the ashes, a new life is born. Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood. Oh, what a Savior. Isn't he wonderful? Sing hallelujah, Christ is risen. Bow down before him, for he is Lord of all. Sing hallelujah, Christ is risen. You can listen to that hymn now, and then we're going to finish our service with another hymn, a hymn of dedication, a hymn of presenting ourselves as a sacrifice before God and asking him to transform us. It's Take My Life. And let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my days. Let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for thee. Let's praise God together. So as we come to the end of our service today, let us leave by being transformed by Jesus Christ. And therefore, I pray this blessing upon each one of you. Lord, speak into our hearts the truth of Jesus' great work for us on the cross. And where words are not enough, enlighten us by your Holy Spirit, Lord. Forgive us if we have misunderstood the mysteries of salvation, and lead us into all truth as we read about the death of Jesus Christ. Amen.